Hello and welcome to the Soft Tattooed Millionaires podcast. I'm your host, Jack, and today I'm joined by Derek Ensign, who is part of MLS in Austin, which is not to be confused with MLS2ATX. This is a grassroots independent supporter group from right here in Texas. But before we get going, I just want to know a little bit about your own history, Derek, with soccer. Who do you support? Who are you waking up for on a Saturday morning and why?
Hey, Jack. How's it going? Good to join the podcast with you today. Yeah, man, it's kind of a funny story. I feel like I'm actually a huge soccer fan without a club team. I've kind of jumped around. I grew up, I watched some Dallas Burn, FC Dallas, but don't really follow them anymore. In college, I was a guy, you know, jumping up for Liverpool, going to Fado, watching them in the morning and stuff, but kind of been all over the place. Don't really have a home team, and that's kind of one of the big like pulls for me about getting this team here in Austin is to have like a team that's truly my own for the first time. So hopefully that works out.
Yeah, I feel like such a dork that when you tell me that, when you say I'm a man without a team, I feel a bit of true sadness for you. I'm not lying. Right now I'm just sitting here going, oh, that must be so difficult for you.
You know, it's funny because, like, what I would tell people, too, is, like, you know, I really focus on, like, the national teams, and I follow all these guys wherever they play, but, well, we know what just happened for the national team last year.
I've actually been asleep for the last 9 months. Fill me in.
Exactly. So here I am, focusing this soccer energy, hopefully, for an MLS team in Austin in 2019.
Yeah, you're the prototypical sort of MLS in Austin fan. I mean, you're the person that this venture would be appealing to. People with an interest in a national team, but without their sort of their own domestic team or their own sort of foreign team. No divided loyalties with you. You're it.
I'll definitely be way too into this if it all happens like we're hoping it's going to.
Well, I did just tell you that I'm recording from my closet, so we're all way too into this. So it's it's totally cool. But how about you give us a sort of just a status update on what's going on with bringing an MLS team to Austin?
Sure. Yeah. So over the last few months, we've narrowed down a few stadium sites with the help of city council going back and forth with PSV. And it looked like PSV was really focused on Butler Shores, right off South Lamar. The baseball fields there is their ideal location. But the NIMBYs and the Parkland people shut that down pretty quickly. Maybe with some help from Columbus fans that were also emailing city council and now flying banners and planes. but the fact was probably Parkland wasn't going to work out in Austin no matter what if it came to a vote. The second site also being Parkland, right, was Roy G. Guerrero Park on the east side, which really appealed to me. I thought it could be a super cool place, just half mile walk from a bunch of really fun places to hang out. But again, with the Parkland folks, they said, you know, there's no way we're going to give away our Parkland to a for-profit venture, which I respect that ideology that they got going there and, can't argue with their philosophy. And so that left us really with McCall Place in, over by the Domain, which a lot of people were really excited about. I think especially North Austinites. But people were excited. I think they saw this is definitely going to be our path of least resistance for getting a soccer stadium in Austin would be to get this non-parkland but still city-owned tract of land over by the Domain. I think about 24 acres and turning it into a stadium. And here we are tonight while the city council is getting ready to talk about and vote on a study of really looking at all the different variables on McCall Place and whether or not they would want to move forward with PSV on this.
Yeah, and it's fairly likely that they will pass the study. There's really no harm in doing a study whatsoever. So,
right. Yeah. I think like tonight they want to have like they want to invite people to voice their opinions about this at the meeting tonight and just, be politically kind of correct and allow their constituents to have a voice. But yeah, like you said, what's the harm that can come from just studying this, right?
Yeah, well, I'll be honest with you. I am not a big proponent of McCalla Place, but I'm keeping an open mind because I'm just in general a negative person, and I need to calm down. So could you make the case for me for McCalla Place? Why is that the place for an MLS stadium in Austin?
For sure. Well, I also kind of had my hopes set on these other places I was kind of explaining, so I can kind of relate to you, but I am... Actually, I struggle with optimism as a problem of mine. So
this is perfect.
Balance you out there on that. But I'll tell you why McCalla Place will be great, actually. So number one, it's the most realistic option that we have for kind of a public-private partnership here that will be enticing to PSV. Also, okay, I know that the domain, you might think, oh, like going to Neiman Marcus before the game, that sounds great.
Yes, no. I do hate the domain. I really hate the domain. So that's really what I need help getting over. For those of you not in Austin, the domain is just kind of like a big, ugly mall and sort of planned living space. It's gross, but moving forward, why should I?
Yeah. So I lived up in North Austin actually for about 6 years before moving to East Austin like 3 years ago. So I can definitely I can tell you the pros and cons of that area, and also tell you why I wish it were somewhere else. But okay, the positives I think are that we are going to find a place that is more easily accessible than our very crowded and very unfortunately inaccessible downtown location. I think, if we had the infrastructure in the city that a lot of us wish that we did and had the public transportation to get in and out of downtown, that Butler Shores, I think, probably would have warranted a greater consideration. But it is super crowded and really hard to get in and out of there, and parking, etc. So McCalla Place, I think, will offer greater accessibility for people. There is one of the things that they're going to study, hopefully, if this passes tonight, is what will PSV offer and what will the city and PSV like work together to get infrastructure changes and public transportation changes around McCalla Place. So they would like to move a light rail station or add another one to be basically right in front of the stadium. So that'd be really nice, especially for basically everyone north of the river. And also, as a person who just enjoys craft beer, I think I probably wouldn't be hanging out in the mall before the game, but I'd be hanging out in one of the six, soon to be seven craft breweries that are about half a mile or so away from the McCalla Place site before the game. And I could envision some fun marches with the supporters to the match, from one of those breweries.
Yeah, and I think those breweries are going, if the MLS comes to Austin, those breweries are going to be doing everything they possibly can to get that supporter fan base in there before the games. They will make it very attractive to come up there. I guess I do worry about sort of the MLS in Texas in general, just because FC Dallas and Houston Dynamo don't have the greatest attendance records in the leagues. Why is Austin different than Houston and Dallas? Besides the fact that this would be the only pro sports team, why does this work in Austin but not in Dallas and not in Houston?
Sure. And I'm a guy who grew up in the suburbs of Dallas, so I can definitely compare and contrast these two cities a lot. I think the biggest thing we're talking about is that Austin is not an hour and a half drive from one side of the city to the other, mm-hmm. Like I felt kind of bad thinking about, man, if we put this in North Austin, it's going to really suck for South Austin to get up there. And then you think about it, it's like, well, it's like a 20 or 25 minute drive from probably like 290 up to the domain. And so people can handle that for, if they're a big fan, or if they're not a big fan, but they just want to go to the game, it's not that big of a deal to make a drive. So I think just the size of the city is something that is very different between places. I think, I was reading that ESPN survey, like anonymous survey of the players that came out the other day.
Yeah, I was reading that too.
Yeah, and some people, you know, some of the players are talking about how Houston's one of the worst places to play in the league, or toughest, I think. And I was like, what is that? Like, they don't have any fans there. And I realized it's because, like, Houston humidity, it's just a notch worse of heat hell, I think, than than Austin or Dallas. And that's part of the struggle there in Houston is humidity's terrible. So I think, you know, like, stadium design, ventilation, shade, like, we got to get that right, like, to make this, you know, something that's enjoyable for a couple hours in the summer. But I'm also one of those, like, UT fans that'll sweat in the sun for 4 hours to watch a football game. So there's a lot of those.
Yeah, I think about that a lot because, you know, when the Longhorns are playing, people are camping out the entire week. What do you think the crossover is going to be, you know, those hardcore UT fans and the MLS and Austin fans? Are people just going to come out because it's a sporting event, it's a local event, and they're going to want to get behind it? Or do you think it's not going to be, like, it's not a perfect, you know, circle Venn diagram? Do you think there are a lot of these UT fans are going to come and watch the MLS?
I think so. I think there's a lot of, especially the younger UT fans or, you know, graduates in the last 10, 15 years. I mean, if we talk about the stereotypical idea, like, millennials are the ones that are most into soccer in this country, then like, a lot of my friends that I talk to about UT sports are super excited about this as well. So I think there will be crossover there. One thing that's really different about UT sports, like, who are the people coming to a UT football game, filling up that stadium? I think you see, okay, a lot of students who may or may not be a part of, you know, the MLS Austin fan base. But also, most of the people that aren't students there, I think, are out-of-town alumni. And those are the people you're talking about that are camping out and barbecuing and all that stuff. So those people, I don't think, you know, are the crossover people. But I think we're looking at a huge portion of the city of Austin that doesn't really care about UT sports if they didn't go to that school, right? And mm-hmm. So I think that, more importantly than the crossover, is actually, like, the huge untapped sports fan that doesn't care about UT in Austin.
Yeah, I mean, when you do demographic studies of soccer in America, I mean, it's not like a silly thing to say, oh, you know, those millennials, they love soccer. That's actually a good thing. That's like a positive market force for the MLS here. But switching gears a little bit, what do you say to the Save the Crew people? I'm always, you know, looking out for Twitter beef. It seems like, for the most part, people are fairly cordial. You know, some little jabs here and there. But what do you say to the people in Columbus right now?
Yeah, I mean, what I've expressed a lot to people online from Columbus is that, you know, this really isn't the ideal way we wanted to get a team. And I think that I personally feel really bad and like, conflicted about this, right, for the people of Columbus. I feel really bad for the people that have invested a lot of their time, energy, and money, just, you know, passion over the years in this team, and that might leave. Okay, so that's definitely a real emotion, no matter what my other feelings are, that's there. But at the same time, I think that we in Austin and in Columbus are soccer fans that are stuck in a zero-sum game of expansion here, where we see, you know, three slots left with 12 cities probably ahead of us right now, because we don't have an expansion bid in, which also, I think, maybe that's been prevented because Precourt has had his, you know, like, has had the rights to this area for the last 5 years. But yeah, my point is that basically, if Austin wants to get an MLS soccer team, this is the way it's going to happen. And so I'm all about that. And I want that to happen, while I also, you know, feel sympathy and sadness for the supporters in Columbus.
I think what I see a lot on social media from the Crew fans is just, why does Austin want to work with Anthony Precourt? You know, he does these sort of backhanded things like closing off entrances to the gates to make the stadium appear more empty. He doesn't disclose the fact that he holds the expansion rights for Austin, doesn't recuse himself from voting on expansion teams, and that would include meetings that would discuss the bid in San Antonio. How do you feel about Anthony Precourt? Does any of his behavior worry you? Do you think it's overblown? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, because really a lot of what I've heard, I feel like, is conjecture from both sides that already have an agenda and they're trying to fit what they think about Anthony Precourt into that, you know? But I mean, yeah, with anybody that with an owner that put the clause into the buying statement, you'd have to worry about, like, okay, like, would this guy be 100% loyal to Austin forever? No. And you know, I think that's, like, probably true for any businessman that, you know, brings his company to this city. If it's not going to work out here and there's a better opportunity somewhere else, they'll leave. And I understand too that, like, in sports, that there's, like, a lot more people maybe emotionally invested in it, and so that just complicates things. But you know, I think what it comes down to with Precourt and Austin clause and all that is the league was looking for an investor to buy the Columbus Crew 5 years ago, right? And they couldn't get one in the Columbus area. And then here comes a guy who's offering what maybe seems like above market value for this club from this guy from California. And his stipulation is, if this doesn't work out, I want to move it to Austin. And so, yeah, I understand the question, like, was this his plan all along, and the complications of that? But there does seem to be some, like, real effort into rebranding the Crew and marketing and investing in a quality team over the last few years. So, you know, I can't tell from the outside of, like, was this guy just buying the Crew to move it all along or whatnot? You know, it's just a bunch of conjecture there, but there's valid questions on either side, I think.
It does make it tricky, because Precourt himself is sort of, it seems like he's not in total hiding, but he is sort of elusive right now. He's been coming out with more statements about Austin lately, but for a while, we weren't really seeing or hearing from him while like the Save the Crew movement had just started and was really going. So it is tough. I also think it's a matter of soccer being such a global sport that as fans of soccer, our sensibilities are not classically American. The classic American sensibilities is, okay, it's a franchise, the franchise can move. But, you know, like, it's a global sport. So when you know, the two teams that I watch, Chivas and Portsmouth, you know, they've been terrible. They almost went out of business. They've been around since the 1800s. You know, the idea of moving them is anathema. Like, people would lose their minds. So I think we want so much to copy the European model. We want so much to copy the global model because we see its success, but it is not the American model. So, I mean, I think Anthony Precourt might be a little slimy, but I also, but I also understand that, like, this is not Europe. This is not Latin America. This is not it. I mean, we don't have the same standards here for behavior and for moving franchises. Yeah. And it is heartbreaking.
It's not a 100-year-old club, and you know, we've had leagues fold in the past basically due to the business operations of them, and soccer, even though it's, you know, on the rise and there's a lot to be positive about soccer in this country, is not the number one passionate sport in, like it is in all those, you know, other markets that you kind of were mentioning.
All right, so let's do some fun questions. So okay. First season in Austin, if it happens, who do you want MLS? Oh, actually, let's start really easy. What should the name be? Should it be the Austin Crew, or does that feel like a slap in the face for Columbus? Should it be something generic like Austin FC? I forget which names they copyright. I think it was Austin FC and Austin something else.
Yeah, so Austin Crew, no way.
Yes. I saw that on Twitter today, and I just thought, oh, God, no.
I think some people just kind of, like, mention it as that because they don't know what else to say. But, yeah, we can't. There's no way that's going to happen, and I don't think really anyone wants that to happen. Austin FC is pretty boring to me.
I hate all that. I hate those names. Yeah. I hate them so much.
Okay, what about FC or SC if you had to choose?
I mean, but that's the thing. That's a big difference, though. Like, Orlando City SC, right? I love that so much more than, like, Atlanta United FC. Like, it's like...
Oh, yeah.
We like stop being such posers. Come on, yeah. You know?
I'm with you on that. Like, yeah, Real, United, Dynamo. I know. Give me all that. But
I know.
No. So the other name was Austin Athletic, and I kind of do like that. I'm not 100% sold, but I definitely like that a lot more than Austin FC. I think it sounds good. I think it's like it's general, but it's like unique and specific for MLS. And obviously there's connection to, you know, other clubs named Athletic or Atletico and other leagues and stuff.
Yeah, I like that more too. As a native Texan, can you think of sort of like a piece of Texan history that you would, cuz you know, like classic MLS names sort of like are sort of weird, like the Dynamo or the Revolution, but they always deal with some facet of like of history in that place. Is there something that you think is quintessentially Texan that maybe Austin should try and represent? Or quintessentially Austin, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good point. Like, I don't know about quintessentially Texan because Austin does kind of pride itself in being a little different than the rest of Texas, for one. And then
the Austin weirdos, that would be great.
Yeah, some of the Austin suggestions I've heard aren't that great. Like people wanting Grackles as mascots. I'm like, I don't know about
I hate
that,
the Grackles.
I'm all for Austin Taco Warriors FC personally. That's my favorite. But
yeah. I mean, we should just embrace it. Like embrace the weirdness. I would love.
Yes.
I don't know. But I just like to field that question because I've been going through the list of MLS teams and just kind of shaking my head. First season in Austin, this is going to be my first question, but who do you most want to be the designated player in Austin's first season? Who do you want him to sign?
Man, that's a good question.
Yeah.
And an interesting one, especially with the news of Zlatan signing today with the Galaxy.
I have a lot of mixed feelings. But I, like I said, I'm too negative. I will take your positivity. Which soccer superstar do you think would most fit in Austin?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard a lot of people mention Chicharito, and I would be a big fan if Chicharito came here. And I think that, you know, maybe Austin won't have the money that LA or New York would have, or the appeal to sign Zlatan or David Beckham or one of these, you know, superstar names right now. But I think that Chicharito, with how much money he's making right now, and just the idea of maybe appealing to the Mexican soccer fan, Mexican national supporters in Texas, not just in Austin, but in Texas, would be cool to think about, you know, like, would we attract fans traveling from across the state to want to root on Chicharito if he came to Austin? I don't know. I think it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I would love Chicharito too. There's a lot of rumors about him going to LAFC at the end of the season. So yeah. I do worry about that being a possibility, but Chicharito is the first person that comes to mind as well. Well,
yeah.
I'll end it there. You've done a great job fielding these questions. I know it's not always the most fun to. It is very contentious with the Save the Crew movement, and I know I have a lot of mixed emotions. But Derek, thank you so much for coming on. Everyone should listen to y'all's podcast. Check you guys out at MLS in Austin. Any last words you want to say to the listeners?
I hope that we're all in a stadium in about a year from now, cheering on the same team. I think it'll be a surreal moment when that happens, but I'm feeling pretty confident right now with the way things are moving and accelerating at a quick pace that it's gonna happen. And I mean, I'm just pretty giddy talking to you about it right now, so
All right.
Hope it happens.
Awesome. Thanks, Jack. Yeah, thanks so much.